This is George Clooney, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Girl. I'm just kidding, it's not George Clooney. My name's Alana.
Hello, everybody. This is Jasmine.
And I'm Michael.
And I'm the Walking Dead Girl. You're listening to The Walking Dead Girl, episode 135. In this podcast, we review and discuss the hit TV show, The Walking Dead from AMC. In addition to reviewing the show, we play listener feedback, so join the conversation.
And if you want to give us feedback, you can send email to talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com. There's other ways you can give us feedback. You can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thewalkingdeadgirlpodcast. Or you can go to our website and leave a voicemail feedback, thewalkingdeadgirl.com/voicemail. And we routinely read feedback and comments on the show.
Before we get started, I want to remind you guys that we'll be discussing every gory detail about the TV show. So obviously there will be spoilers. So make sure you've watched the current episode before listening. Do you like the show, right, Dad? You sent a text message to me after you saw it saying this was a good episode.
I sent you a text message saying it was a good episode.
Okay.
You beg to differ?
Okay. It was like a hit or miss for me. It was good. I really liked the episode. The story was good. The developments were good. Like I got surprised at certain points. I was like disappointed in others, but like good disappointed in characters. But the acting for Aaron and Eric's like scene was so bad.
You didn't like Aaron's.
I zoned out. I did not believe it. I did not believe it one bit. That's how I know if it's bad acting. If I just start to like, if I look off or I get distracted, just like I was not really. I didn't believe him. But on the opposite end of that, when Morgan was talking to Jesus after when they were fighting, that was good. Now that I was like, oh, I felt it. I didn't really, because I mean, I'm not in Morgan's position. How do I know how it feels like to be in his shoes? But his act, he believed it, made me feel it. And I was like, oh, I feel that. Like, that's true. Like, I agree. But with Aaron, and I was like, he was pushing just a little bit. So that's the only criticism I have for this episode was the acting. And then I didn't like Morales either, his acting. He's like, Rick. We're different now. I was like, are you trying to be like Rick?
Or he's pursing his lips like he's doing the mouth, like, because they had a close up on his face, and I guess, you know, they got the actor back and they gave him his moment by doing a major close up monologue there. Gave him his moment in the sun, I guess. But
has he not acted in anything before this reboot? Because I just did not like it at all. Being harsh, maybe, but I've had training so I can spot it out, and it's hard for me to just like.
Well, there was one thing that was bad with Aaron is emotional stuff. It was like grimacing, like
that's pushing. It was pushing for me.
There was no tears. First of all, I didn't see any tears on Aaron. They could have put some fake tears.
Because he couldn't. Because he was.
I mean, you know.
Hit or miss. I liked the episode. I really, really loved the where Rick was challenged a little bit on
by
his
Morales.
By his how brutal he could really be. But Daryl took it to the next level every time, you know. And I loved seeing like Rick's reactions after Daryl did something that Rick couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, oh man, is he thinking about, oh, this is how far we've come now? I mean, with that kid though. Okay, we'll talk about it. But with that kid.
I liked the execution of the episode. It was well executed. I understood everything that was going on. It was pretty straightforward. I liked the way they cut between the different plot lines, and you know, they kind of brought it around where they said, where are the guns? It's like, oh, there's the guns. And then like they show the Ezekiel getting gunned down by the guns, the heavy guns. So they kind of brought it around and they connected all the dots, and it was good. It was good that way. And of course, there's still a lot of open questions. So there's going to be yet another episode with action, obviously.
But now I'm like, what happens now? Now I feel like for the first time in a while, I feel like I'm on the edge of my seat because the ending with Carol's group, Carol the King.
Who dies?
I don't know if the episode I saw you because you sent me the link to the show, and the show ended with them getting gunned down. Was there anything after that, or was that it?
It was kind of abrupt, wasn't it? The way they showed them.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was cut off or something.
They do it on purpose. I hate when they do that. When they have like gunfire and then they cut. But yeah, the ending was basically if you blink, you missed it kind of thing. Like, basically what happened was...
All I know is I know the king is alive and I know Carol's alive because everyone like jumped on top of the king. Sorry, I spoiled it.
Yeah, I mean, that was basically what they wanted to show is that everybody jumped. And you saw like fountains of blood shooting out. So somebody died.
Oh my gosh.
Somebody died, right?
No, I don't think anyone died.
One thing I'm kind of tired of is the same symbolism and messages that they keep injecting in the show. Like Rick again is, he's shocked by Daryl. Well, why? Like, why is Rick again having dilemmas in his mind? Like,
because he
again,
met
yet again. Like, why? Like, again, like.
Because, Dad, remember when he was all in?
He was,
Trinity came down and chopped them all down. But he saw Morales, remembered he was officer friendly, and he's like, damn, like, throwback. And he just came back from killing the father of the baby, Dad. So, of course, he's like, shoot, like, I got to think about who I am now, because look at me. And now, it's not meaning that he has to stop doing this war. Like, this war needs to continue going, and Daryl hopefully will pull him back in. But it just takes a moment to just reflect. I hope.
Yeah, again, with this, like,
the characters.
Who are we? Are we good guys or bad guys? I'm not in the mood for that storyline again. Like, I'm not in the mood to like.
That's what makes the show good. Because if they were just always going in, that would be boring. That's perhaps why we like the show. We like the fact that they're fighting. They're still fighting themselves, you know? But yeah, I do get, I mean, that scene was a little stretched. Like that scene with Morales could have been cut in half.
Well,
but I need to see Rick back to I need to see Rick go back to his old moral code thing. And
remember,
like,
what happened,
fighting.
Remember what happened at the end of the last season? Everyone was like, yes, the old Rick is back. We're going to go and fight. And yes, the old Rick is back. Daryl's back. The team is back. Yeah, the team is back. And everyone's like, yeah, it's going to be a great 8th season because the team is back. And Rick's like, yeah, we've already won in this episode 1 speech that he gave. Yeah, even though in our hearts we've already won before the battle even started. I guess it means like, well, just the fact that we're standing up straight and fighting means that we won as human beings, that, you know, we're not going to sit and take it from Negan. And if we win the battle, that's even better, you know, but, you know,
we're going to die trying.
Exactly. And then the ambivalent messages about, we're only going to kill the bad people and the good people are going to be
killed. Think it's a fair point. I think it's a fair point because then it's just an action show, Dad. Then it's just like Terminator. Why don't you just watch Terminator then? Why are you putting on The Walking Dead? Well, it's a drama. We have to have conflict, even with yourself. We have to decide, what kind of people do we want them to be? Do we want them to be just like Negan, where they're killing with no reason behind it?
Mm.
You know, we don't want that mindless killing. We have to have them. I still want them to get to point B, but we need to have like hurdles to climb and ditches to dig, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes a good show. I don't want it to just be, mindless, like, meh, here we go again. I mean, yeah.
Okay, well, we'll see.
As long as you get there.
We'll see how this, how Rick's thing goes. There was some mysterious stuff also in this episode that they snuck in, like Rick writing something on a piece of paper.
Was it a note for Negan? That's what I thought it was.
I don't know what it was. And then, like, where was he going off to? They were splitting up with Daryl.
Or maybe he was just, like, checking off on the list of what they need to do, the next part of the plan.
No, he was... Yeah, maybe. He was writing down stuff. Is that part of the plan?
Maybe he was writing a note to give to Maggie. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, or to leave behind for people to find or something. I don't know.
Yeah, for the next group to come through and...
I just feel like Rick is going to go on some solo mission or something he's up to something.
I don't want to see Rick on a solo mission. We already got that at the prison, man.
Yeah.
No, he works better in groups.
So this episode's called Monsters, and I think what they're trying to tell us by the title is that, hey, everyone's a monster
now.
Who's
the real monster?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's just like freaking, that's just like medieval times, you know? The land was yours if you could take it over. It didn't matter how you got it, and as long as you took over the land, it was yours, and that you were the rightful owner, you know? That's kind of how it is.
Well, that's kind of what Morgan was kind of telling to Jesus. We all turn, meaning as a double meaning, like, well, you all turn into walkers, but we all turn into the evil, into these people that kill. Whether you like it right. or not, you're going to be
the poor taking over the rich and then stealing their money. And then now they're the rich ones that poor people are going to overthrow eventually. You know, it's like this endless cycle. You become what you hate kind of thing.
The powerful, who's ever the most powerful wins. Whoever's on top is the leader and has to kill everyone else.
Right. There's no real motivation behind why they have to destroy everyone in this. It's like the biggest thing they had to crush. Before it was like, oh, they attacked us. Now we're, you know, we got defended. We got to save ourselves. Now they're like, we got to get rid of the whole rodent problem by exterminating everything in this place so that nothing will grow. It's not like, oh, we're going to kill this here, kill a bug here, stomp on it here. No, we got to eradicate it from the source. And they've always been doing that, and it has been backfiring a lot, but now they're just planning it out better.
I'm happy with the action and the way it's going. Like you said, there could be some improvement in the acting and on some people, and some scenes could be done better. But I guess overall, things are going pretty good. You know, we obviously lost Eric, so that was expected.
Like we said, we were.
Yeah. So we see some weirdness there where
Eric, I just want to know what that does to Aaron now.
Yeah, Aaron.
Oh, I mean, we saw a little bit of it afterward. He's like, I have to do this. Yeah, you were right about the baby.
Well, I was right to the point where they're going to take it.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to end up happening.
Aaron is the one that's going to be taking care of it. He's going to replace Eric with the baby. Isn't that how it works?
His love for Eric is now being transferred to the baby now.
Being a father. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, just perfect timing.
Someone at Hilltop will take care of it, I guess.
I feel like Hilltop is the family part of the whole part. Alexander's like the head base. The kingdom is like where all the military comes from. And then Hilltop is where the babies are.
They grow babies at Hilltop. And they, yeah. And they grow food too.
Right. Sorghum, it's just like a nurturing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you want to, what scene do you want to start with? Do you want to do the Ezekiel and Carol, Rick and Daryl?
Ooh, I get a choice.
Or Aaron and Eric, Jesus and Morgan.
Let's get the least important one, which is the Aaron and Eric. Ooh, did I say that? Yes, I did.
So let's get that out of the way. The group notices that the Savior, so they're still in battle. It hasn't finished yet. And then the group notices that the Saviors are now shooting towards the building because Morales on the walkie-talkie called them over. So why would they leave the enemy that's shooting at them to turn their backs and walk towards the building to shoot into the building? I don't know. It doesn't make sense,
who,
but
who are they shooting at? Who are they shooting at in the building?
Well, when Rick and Daryl, I got to say the order. Daryl and Rick doesn't sound good. Doesn't roll off the tongue. Rick and Daryl sounds better. So when Rick and Daryl go into the building, there was two or three other guys with them. They left them downstairs and then they went upstairs, right?
Oh, they killed the guys that were downstairs?
Well, I think
those were our people?
Yeah, I think that's who the Saviors were shooting at because they were standing guard and the Saviors were pointing in the other direction, right?
But they didn't even see that. They didn't turn around once.
I guess not. Well, and then when Morales called them, they turned around and they tried go back into the building, and then they found,
oh, because they thought there were more people in there, but it was only just them.
Yeah, and then they shot them, and then they eventually went upstairs to Rick and Daryl.
Right, okay.
Eventually, that battle is over, and then we see Aaron walk over to Eric and puts him down on a tree because he took him away from the battle, right? Actually, no, the battle wasn't over, so he took him away as the battle was going on, right? And then another scene that kind of is an Easter egg, that a nod to season one. Remember from season one, there was this guy called Jim and he was turning?
Yeah. And they left him at the tree.
They left him at the tree and took off. It's kind of the same, kind of recreating that scene because Eric was left at the tree and he went away.
Uh-huh. Right.
But anyway, Eric is wounded, and then they have this dialogue. What did you think of that? Joking a little back and forth.
They're like, were you the one that shot me? Well, I mean, like, it was true. Aaron does feel a little guilty because Eric didn't initially want to get involved. But then Eric was like, no, well, now I need to get involved. And Eric, for a guy who was dying, was pretty okay. He was so, see, brainwashed by the war, war crazy. When people are gathered to say that, okay, I'm going to join a war, they're already signing up knowing that they're going to die. So Derek had the great mentality of, you know, they need you. This is still going on. This is bigger than myself. Don't let me distract you from the bigger picture here, which is a tough thing to do. It's like to be selfless like that, because he knows he's going to die, but he put like little jokes on it and tried to pump Aaron up because he knows how important Aaron is to the cause, and just tried to be the bigger person in that scenario instead of what a lot of scared people who would do when they realize they're dying. They're like, oh, I don't want to die. Please don't let me die. You know, he kind of accepted it. He kind of accepted it. And it was like, look, this is the situation we're in. I love you. I think inside he probably always knew he was never going to make it like we all did.
Well, yeah, because Aaron says that cliche line, oh, just put pressure on it, it'll be fine, and you're good to go.
I mean, there was hope, like the wound went through, but Eric is a weak soul, man. He just can't. He can't handle it. He's not made for this world, and that's okay. That's okay. I mean, it's okay he died, but that's okay. He was like, it's okay, man. It's all right. Now it's my time. Now it's my time. It's my time. What was sad, though, is that he didn't kill himself before he turned. Yeah. So that Aaron had to see him walk away. It wasn't it like really symbolic of him walking towards the walkers as like, okay, I'm going to join the ranks of the walkers now.
I'm going to join my peoples.
Right.
I'm going to join my new people. It was, I think they did it on purpose because they didn't show his face. They just showed like from a distance.
Right. Well, because that's kind of how Aaron was seeing it. He's like, that's not him anymore. Now he's just another walker. And it was released. I mean, the best part of this was when he was dead and he was walking away and Aaron came back looking for him.
Yeah, well, that was good. I really don't like, well, one thing I'm glad that they brought Morales back is that they could finally kill him. Because
I'm glad that storyline ended there.
Because the theories surrounding Morales is like, where's Morales? Is he out there? Is he ever going to come back? Who knows about Morales? I don't care about Morales. But the fact that
he said it himself in the speech, what, just because you knew me for the first 3 days of the apocalypse, that we're something and mean something? That's true. It was only there for like a couple of episodes.
Yeah, I mean, it meant nothing. And now you're supposed to give me all these words like Andrea and stuff, and I'm supposed
to... Like I'm supposed to mean something?
But one thing I didn't like is that they showed him walking off. They didn't show his face. So now the conspiracy theorists are going to say, oh, that's not really Eric. And then when that other character, which...
Who knows?
Scott, his name is Scott. He says, oh, I got to get Eric. I got to take care of him. And then Scott says, Aaron, that's not him. Why did you put that line in there? I know what he means, but like, you know, it's not really...
It's like, at first I'm like, that's not him. Where is he? Instead of like, oh, he's a zombie now. That's not Eric.
Yeah, it's not Eric.
Why do you have to say that?
It's not Eric. It's a zombie. It's not really Eric anymore. But then the conspiracy theorists are going to take that like, oh, it's not Eric. Eric is somewhere else. Someone took him. Maybe Negan took him hostage.
He had a jacket around his waist when they covered the wound. I clearly saw a jacket around that guy's waist. Okay. So I know it's him. My conscience is clear. Sit down. Let's move on.
And plus,
let him die.
Plus the actor who plays Eric was on Talking Dead and he said, yes, they basically made it obvious that he's dead. So it's cut and dry.
Just try to be poetic about it. Okay. Cause so many people die in the show. You got to make it, you know, ooh. Right, you can't just show them. Open their eyes, now they're a zombie. You gotta make it dramatic.
I'm like, when I saw the body was missing, I was like, oh, you're kidding me? Someone, someone took the body and now he's kidnapped? Oh, great.
Oh no, I knew the gun was down. I knew he turned.
Why they just? At least show us his face, you know? Yeah. So that was Eric, and then they have a scene where Aaron is sitting at a bench, crying, and then Rick comes out. with a baby.
And Aaron offers to take Tracy to Hilltop because he said me and Eric were supposed to head that direction anyway. I gotta do this.
I have a feeling
complete my last mission.
Yeah, I think I have a feeling that he just wants to do a mission just to keep his mind occupied from the death that he just witnessed.
Yes, 100%. I mean, he said he has to do it. He's like, I gotta do this. Like, that's the only way he needs a moment. And I'm glad that in a war, people can have moments to grieve their loved ones. Because in a real war, it's like they die and then on to the next thing.
Again, the way they film it, I hate some scenes the way they do them. Because like he's sitting there at the bench, and then he's like looking up, like, oh, like he sees something. I'm like, what did he see? Is Eric coming back? Is he alive? Like, oh man, it's like, stop it, it's already.
Ah, why?
Then he sees the baby, of course. And we also see in that same scene that Rick is taking Polaroids again. Who knows what he's going to use them for?
These Polaroids. Oh, I showed you the Polaroid, right? Did we talk about it on the podcast? The one that he took of Negan behind the metal grate?
Yeah, they showed the photo that Rick took of Negan.
On Instagram.
On the Walking Dead official Instagram page. And all we saw was basically a shoulder or something. We didn't see anything. It was hard to see.
Taking pictures as a record of their victory or like for the history books? I don't know. I hope it's for the history books. That'd be so cool if they had their own history book of like when Rick came and liberated us all. Here's photographic evidence. But that wraps up that whole Aaron and Eric thing. We can stop talking about it now and just let that put it to rest. He's dead. He's gone. He can move on. Aaron is now unattached and he's single, ready to mingle. I know. I'm really crass about this.
someone on the Talking Dead called in and said, hey, maybe, or was it a Twitter message? But hey, maybe Aaron and Jesus could get together now.
Hey.
Because Aaron's free. Too soon.
Did Jesus say he was gay?
I think he did when he was talking to Maggie at some point.
Oh, yeah. I was talking about like his boyfriend from the past or something.
Yeah. Kind of too soon. So let's dive into the Morales scene where Morales is talking. And basically, we're just going to pick out some key elements of his monologue because to point out what's basically going on. So he sees it's Rick and says, oh, so you're Rick from Alexandria. You know, I saw your reflection in the mirror. And one sentence I like to pick out here he says, as soon as I saw you, I knew you'd make the same trip as me from there to here. So does he mean the trip from Atlanta to here, like where they are now? Or does he mean like the same trip from one room to another room?
No, he means like a mental trip, like I knew you went on the same journey of becoming a monster. Losing everything and having to become someone else, like dying with whoever died that you cared about that died and last.
Oh, okay. So that's a different interpretation that I didn't pick up on. So the same trip as me, like, oh, you were a good guy, now you're a bad guy.
Because that's what he alludes to many times. He's like, you know, you're just like me. You were both monsters, you know. I've lost everything and that's why the Savior saved me. And I look at you and you're no better than us.
Yeah, and then he says,
"Don't be so righteous in your cause."
He says, "Well, I guess we aren't the same guys we used to be, huh? Because you're a monster."
Yeah, exactly.
And he also reveals something interesting, which is kind of flaky, but because I don't know if everybody knows about this, that he says, "We've been told we don't kill you, the widow, or the king. Not if we don't have to."
I like how Maggie's known as the widow now. It's like her only like plot and her only plot line is to avenge her husband's death.
Yeah. It's interesting how now there's like a bounty on their heads that if the Saviors come across those three, they're not supposed to kill them.
And it's interesting now that because there is no internet, no one knows what anyone looks like.
they can't just Google
what they look like.
Can't just Google it. They can't go on their Facebook page and see their profile photo.
Yeah, exactly. Or watch the news and find out their faces and have a sketch. Unless they have a sketch.
I guess Morales didn't know. He just knew of Rick. He's like, oh, so you're the Rick.
He didn't know it was the same Rick.
Yeah, because he says, oh, so you're the Rick from Alexandria. I know, right? He just knew of a Rick, but he didn't know how he looked like, but now he does. I mean, you hear the word name Rick, it could be any Rick, right? He wouldn't think yeah. it was the same one.
Right. And he said, what is it you're looking for?
Yeah.
He doesn't know why Rick's there?
I guess not. And then Rick explains, all my people have died. Andrea, Lori.
For a moment it affects him. And then he says he got a wife in this.
Well,
and he's like, yeah.
Well, this.
And he's like, well, stupid mistake.
I don't. Oh, because Glenn back then, he didn't have a wife, right? He was by himself.
Right.
But then he's like, oh, I didn't know Glenn was married or whatever. Which I was kind of surprised at his surprise, where he said he got a wife in this. Because, dude, right in the next room, there's a baby. So where'd that baby come from? It happened in the apocalypse. So, hey, this
maybe
is...
Maybe he's judging that, too. Maybe he's just judging it.
Like, he's judging everything.
Idiots.
And then Rick says, yeah, she's the widow. And then he goes, well, Rick wants to find out, and we want to find out. Who Morales is now? And he says, are you Negan, too? And then Morales says a few more things, and let's listen to the audio.
I'd at least try to find another way.
Yeah, why? Because we knew each other for a few days back at the start?
Look, I know. I would
you want to know what I think? I think you can talk all you want. You can say all the words, Lori, Shane, Andrea, Glenn. Yeah, they're all dead. And somewhere along the way, Officer Friendly died right along with them. Just like I did. With them. That's what I know, Rick.
Wait, no! You good? That was...
I know who it was. Don't matter. Not one little bit.
I mean... It's true. Rick, Daryl's right. Don't matter. It doesn't matter a little bit because we're not here for that. I'm glad that played out the way it played out.
Well, I'm glad too. And I know there's a lot of people out there that were frustrated because for some reason they have this
fantasy
about Morales, and he's had this amazing character. Why is he an amazing character? Like, he had no character development in season one. Zero. Actually, he had no character development. So to bring him back and then make him this huge character out of nowhere makes no sense.
He's not a Morgan.
Exactly.
I think they were trying to make him into a Morgan. But Morgan was there. It was a whole different thing altogether. Plus, Lenny, the actor, is a great actor to begin with. So
yeah, I mean,
of course they're going to keep him
the
on.
The only reason Morales was here, let's give this
make
moral,
some conflict for Rick.
Conflict for Rick and show Rick that I was this guy from season one, and I am evil now. Who I am then doesn't matter, because this is what I am now. This is what I've become. Yeah. And you are the same.
I lost my family. Yeah.
You are the same. You are from back then. You're not Officer Friendly anymore. You've changed. And he said earlier, like, the only difference is I've got the gun pointing at you. If you had the gun pointed at me, I'd be dead right now.
And then Rick is like, well, I would try to find another way. And yeah. I think that was the old Rick talking. Because the new Rick wouldn't.
Well,
and I think a little bit of it, I mean, now, and then the next point, you could really see Rick being affected, because when the kid was like, when the kid came out and he said, all you have is our word, I think he really meant that. I think Rick at that time was trying to change and try to get a semblance of who he was in the past back. But he forgot that now is not the time or the place. You're really going to give up a car for a stranger that's on the savior side? He picked his side, you got to kind of deal with it.
I think Daryl was thinking that, oh, Rick's lying, basically. He's not going to give him the car.
I think they were on the same wavelength.
I think Daryl is obviously in a one-track mind. He was that way since he got released from captivity on Negan's camp. And remember when he went to the kingdom and was talking to Morgan and like, hey, make up your mind, dude. I mean, we got to do this. And Morgan's like, no, we don't have to do this. But so Daryl's been on board from day one. Because Daryl already
Daryl
went
feels
through
kind of responsible. He feels responsible as well.
Yeah, because Daryl already went through this moment where he's like, oh yeah, we gotta bring people in to Alexandria. And he was going out and finding people and that Daryl's gone, man. Something has to change.
That was like Farm Rick, but Daryl version.
Yeah, I mean, Daryl is the only reason Daryl is accepting Dwight's help is because it's some of the things are working out as he said, right? Because Daryl's like, oh, the guns aren't here. Dwight lied to us, basically, right? That's what he's thinking. But then the kid comes out, it's like, yeah, the guns were here, but we moved them somewhere else. Daryl's completely anti-Negan, and I think he's going to be pissed off when he finds out that Jesus brought all those saviors to the hilltop.
I don't know. Well, yeah. Do you want to go to that scene now with Jesus and Morgan?
Yeah. So we have them walking on the road.
And yeah, Tara's in the back being all moody, and it was telling the guy next to her, Maggie will know what to do with them because she knew what they did.
They keep referring to Maggie because, of course, Maggie lost Glenn, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they're saying, hey, do you think Maggie is going to show any mercy after the death of Glenn, which these people are the cause of?
Right.
That's, you know, a stretch. And if you notice in this episode, they didn't show the saviors actually going into Hilltop. They ended it with the confrontation at the door where Jesus and Maggie are like, I don't think it's a good idea. And Jesus is like, well, we can put them in the back. And then they cut off there. They didn't show the conclusion of that discussion.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if Maggie's going to finally agree to it or not. But
I loved how strong Maggie was in the scene, because when what's his name?
Gregory
showed up. She was like yelling at him, like bad dog kind of status. She was so sick and tired of him, and it was not worth her time to kill. And then when Jesus came with Morgan, she was just like, go inside. Go. No,
I'm done with you.
I'm done. You're done. You're done.
Yeah.
Go sit in your fake throne. Okay. So, yeah. So but I'm interested to see, cause like she showed him mercy. So I think she will show those guys mercy as well.
Well, it's not the same though. Cause Gregory didn't kill
Glenn.
Yeah. He's an idiot, but yeah. He didn't actually cause the death of anybody in specific. So anyway, going back to Jesus and Morgan, Jesus finds everything to be positive about. Like he's always trying to talk into a positive way. Like Morgan's like, nothing's been decided. Nothing's permanent except impermanence, I guess. So in that way, I agree.
Jesus was like, yeah, no matter what they've done, they're people.
They're people now?
I mean, imagine if Jesus was imagine if someone who was like Jesus from another group that wasn't the saviors was talking about the situation about Rick and his people.
I don't know. It seems like Jesus hasn't been through
enough
pain to understand why. I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out.
It's nothing's black and white is essentially what this episode is about.
No, oh, of course. Yeah. It's a blurry line. And then Jesus says, there's many kinds of dying. You've killed, I've killed. Yeah. People die, but we don't execute. And then Morgan says, I have executed.
He's cleared.
We have Jared teasing Morgan about, hey, what's that armor you're wearing? Why are you wearing that? Why are you wearing? You're an idiot.
What?
Why are you being an idiot and wearing that armor? Morgan tries to, was going to shoot him, and obviously he's saved by the walkers, saved by the bell. We see a bunch of walkers rolling down the hill.
I thought that was cool, and I watched the behind the scenes and how they did it and all that, and I really liked it. What I was impressed with the most is the fight scene between Jesus and Morgan. One, it was tense because it's like, we're on the same side, but we're fighting. Two, I went to the behind the scenes and was watching like how they did it. They did all their own stunts, and they're so professional. Like, they did extra kicks. They didn't need to be directed almost. I mean, I'm sure there was a director and they had a stage combat person, but because they both know how, their craft so well, like their character stuff, like the stick and like him doing the flips and the karate and all that, I was like, oh, that is so cool. They're such professionals. They're really invested like through and through. They don't have somebody just take over for them when it gets too hard. I thought that was really, really neat.
Yeah. And I saw some scenes where they were like in a gym practicing and stuff for the fight. Morgan was saying that they live in the same apartment building or something, the same building. And that there's like a gym in the same building. So they would like go down. They would go downstairs every day and like practice and get ready for that scene.
Oh, that's nice. That's convenient.
So they put their a lot of personal stuff in there. And it was a good fight. I mean, I have to say, it was like, because once the scene starts, I said, okay, Jesus. I said, I think you've met your match here, because this is Morgan, and he's done like extreme combat training, and you're not going to win. And cause I was like rooting. I was like, so Morgan's confident. I was like, Morgan's going to take this guy down.
No, I was rooting for Jesus. I'm like, Morgan's so stupid. What is he doing? And then at the end, when he said, I'm not right, I'm like, yeah, you're not right. You're crazy. I thought he meant like he's not right in the head. He's like, I can't do this. But he was like, I'm not right, but I'm not wrong.
No, that's what he meant. I'm not right in the head, but I'm not wrong.
Oh.
That's just like, well, I know I'm crazy.
Was saying that.
I know I am crazy. And something's not right with me, but I still...
I'm sane enough to know that I'm crazy.
And also...
Dude, he's like, I'm just going to take myself out of this.
I'm still right about the decision not to take the saviors. And then...
Okay, that's what I was... I hope that
and then,
would...
And then Tara chimes in, hey, Morgan, you're right. Tara's like on board, man. She's like, even back at the hilltop where Gregory says, oh, we don't want these killers back inside the hilltop. And then Tara's like, I hate to agree with that guy over there, but yeah, he's right. So Tara's like jumping on every single cue.
Bad wagon she can, yeah.
Yeah, and then, yeah, so Morgan says, you know, do you think Maggie's going to want them dead after what they've done? And then he also says, we're here now to be this, to do the same thing that they do, but mm-hmm. we go on and they don't, right?
Yeah.
He says, you see, we are the same. Jesus says, there's war and then there's peace. So basically he's trying to draw the line. Like we can't continuously be at war. We have to at some point be at peace. Mm-hmm. And if there's a chance to have people surrender, they surrender. What can we do?
I really liked Morgan's speech because he's finally kind of going through everything that has been going on with him. And you could tell that Jesus is like, oh my gosh, who is this guy now? Oh, he's kind of crazy.
And
Morgan's just trying to figure it out too.
I think the only thing that stopped the fight was that Morgan snapped out of it for some reason. Because Jesus was saying, "Oh, is it over yet? Are you done now?" And then Morgan's like, "What?" It kind of like snapped out of it.
Yeah, you could see. That's why I think he's such a good actor. He like you could see him snap out of the crazy and be like, "Did I just black out for a sec?"
No, because he was in clear mode, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Clear mode.
So when he's in that mode, he's in that mode. So, and Jesus was an obstacle to that. He was a block to fulfilling his goal of clearing.
It didn't matter what, if they were all on the same, side.
Yeah. Jesus was a block in the same way that when Morgan was out in the woods by himself and he was going through phases. It doesn't matter who you are. You know, you're against my goal, so you're just a
you're
block.
In the way.
And the only way that fight would have ended was for Jesus to wound Morgan in such a way where Morgan couldn't get up, like he was done. Because Morgan was going to fight until the end,
right?
Until there was no more strength in his body. That's how he was from the past. We just knew it. He would just keep fighting and fighting. He wouldn't stop. And the fact that
Tara doesn't even know what happened though, like, so I don't know why she's like, "You are right." Does she mean that he thought you're right about having to kill these people?
Yeah.
Or does she mean like, "Oh, you're not crazy"?
No, you're right about your idea.
But he meant, I don't know. I'm confused.
No, she was agreeing with him. Like, yeah, you're right about we shouldn't take prisoners. We have to kill these people.
But he also meant that I'm right, as in like I'm right. I'm not right, meaning
I'm right in the head. He's not right.
He's not right in the head. And she's like, "No, you are right in the head." Is that what she's saying?
No, you're right about the decision not to take prisoners. Not the mental part.
She wasn't there for the freaking fight. So how does she know?
You think because she just came later, she ran in?
Yeah. Oh, well,
I don't know. Whatever. I guess. I see what you're saying.
Whatever.
She didn't hear the whole, all the lines.
I know. But yeah. So they bring all the people to Hilltop. And Gregory all of a sudden decides to jump on the bandwagon when then she's like, "Go home, go inside." And
I like that scene.
Oh, it was so funny.
Well, first of all, Gregory should
such a coward.
Gregory shouldn't be alive. He shouldn't even be around anymore. It's just the longer he's alive, the more annoyed I get.
I just don't know why they kept him alive at this point, because he caused a lot of problems.
Yeah, I think.
But I guess, did he cause enough though?
I think he's good for cheap laughs, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because like we shouldn't even be having this dilemma about Gregory if we let him in or not, because he's, in my opinion, he should be a corpse. He should be a walker. at this point?
Well, I mean, they can't just kill him because he was a part of the Hilltop, and then they just kind of encroached on that area and took it over.
Yeah, they can kill him. It's fine. It's okay. They can kill him. It's fine. It's okay.
Mm. Yeah, we say it's okay. Yeah.
But Maggie knows that that car isn't, like, where'd you get that car?
They didn't even press about where Gabriel is.
Yeah, that's Gabriel's car. What'd you do with Gabriel? And Gregory knows who Gabriel is because he took his car. He saw him. Gabriel came out of that car to help him, and he took his car. So obviously he knows who Gabriel is.
What guy?
Because I don't know. The car was just sitting there. A liar, liar, liar.
Liar.
Pants on fire.
Trying to cover his butt still.
Yeah, so that's why I think he should be dead by now. Gabriel made a mistake because he was the one that was talking to Rick that it's not about you, it's about all of us. And then Gabriel made it about himself. He wanted to do something outside the plan. He should have thought about everybody else and stayed in the car and took off. And he'd be back at Hilltop instead of Gregory.
It's not about him. It's about, he pretty much went back on what he was saying to Rick.
Yeah, he said it wasn't about him.
He made it about him.
But then he made it about him because he wanted to go be a hero and save Gregory. So let's listen to a funny clip with Gabriel and Maggie talking.
You went there to betray us, to warn Negan that we were going to fight. That's what you told Cal when you dragged him there. It's why Cal left you there.
Cal? Cal is delusional. What the hell? Cal! Come on, man. You know you can be dramatic. That thing with the sorghum pancakes, huh?
You mean when you ate a little girl's pancakes?
I did not eat those pancakes! Listen, for what it's worth, I did exactly zero harm to your cause. Negan already knew everything.
Goodbye, Gregory.
Wait, no, please. I went there because I was scared, all right? I knew you were going to fight, and I didn't want to be complicit because I didn't think you could win. But I see now what you saw all along, that the saviors can't be reasoned with, that fighting them is the only way. I was wrong. I made a mistake, and I'm sorry.
Do you buy that?
He's like a little kid.
Do you buy that he's like on Maggie's
what
side
now?
What
the hell? I love when Cal's like, what the hell, man?
I didn't eat those pancakes.
Irrelevant. It's like, it's irrelevant. Gregory, the point is, you ratted us out.
I could see Gregory eating a little girl's pancakes. Do you think that Gregory is now on board with Maggie and on her side, and he's like, that's it? Like, do you think what he was...
He's all for the winning side. He just cares about the winning side. And right now, he sees that Maggie's winning.
And do you think it's like he's truly sorry and he wants to be on board and stuff? I kind of bought a little bit of it, but I don't know. We'll see.
I bought it because he's scared. He's just a coward. He just wants to go on the strongest side to protect him.
I think
had nothing to do about anything else.
Oh yeah, of course he's out for himself, of course. But yeah. I think that the fact that he's devoted to Maggie now, I think, is showing a little bit, because when he was confronting Jesus and the saviors coming to the gates, he said, "No, we don't want those saviors." Right? I don't know. I don't know if they're gonna kill Gregory off, because they kept him alive so far. He's alive for a reason. He's gonna play a role somehow in this season.
I think so. And I just hope that it's not going to be at a cost to the group for being stupid.
Oh, do you think they're going to have a redemption episode where he redeems himself?
No. No, this guy is such a coward through and through. There's no redemption for him.
They're not going to have, like, where he sacrifices himself for a little girl or something?
Maybe, but it's going to be for something stupid that he didn't really need to sacrifice himself for. I hope so.
I hope
his whole existence just ends up to be nothing.
So that was that. Again, like we said, they didn't conclude that discussion, so we don't know if the saviors actually got into the Hilltop or not. But
okay, we have one more group to cover.
With Ezekiel, right, and Carol. Of course, it was all too good, right? I mean, Ezekiel...
It's too good to be true, of course. They had to end it in a way that was so bad that it hurt. They were really smart. Yeah, they're overconfident. I mean, it was cool how they went about it. Ezekiel was like, we still have our numbers. They're smart about the ambushes. They got lucky.
We got strategy.
Right. And it was so convenient that Carol's like, I'm just going to sweep in one more time, and leaves the premises where everyone gets shot up. Okay.
Because we don't want Carol to get
shot. Because you know she would be dead if she was stayed, you know?
I would say that...
I was actually kind of confused as to why she had to go back inside anyway.
So she walked away. Hopefully she walked fast enough to get out of sight. Because it wasn't very long that she was walking. But I think in general, Ezekiel's strategy... They say they have strategy, but it's a little bit foolish. A little bit. Because they're out in the open, right? No defense, like nothing to hide behind. So they're way out.
They were good. They thought they were safe.
Well, yeah, because they should have checked the building, like Carol said, right? They should have done their sweep before being confident.
And they didn't know that the 50 cal moved there. They thought the 50 cal, if they even knew the 50 cal existed, they thought it was somewhere else.
Yeah. And then when Ezekiel looks at the building to see, oh, he saw something.
What was he looking for? What was he looking at? Did he see the gun barrel or something?
I had to pause it because it was so small. Again, The Walking Dead does the scenes so confusing.
I tried to pause it on my screen. My computer screen's too small. I couldn't see anything.
There was basically a guy up at the top in the rafters, basically up at the top floor of that building in the roof area. There's a window, and in the window, you could see like a barrel of a gun moving. That's all you could see, basically. He didn't know that it was a big gun. He just saw some gun there. So he thought, okay, take cover because someone's going to shoot at us.
But they didn't know that it was a 50 cal. Oh, didn't check that. How come they didn't sweep the whole building when they went to go assassinate those people?
Well, they didn't do it in time, I guess.
They took a break first just to bask in their win.
One interesting thing was when Daniel, the red-haired guy, he says everyone's accounted for. Basically, the whole running line, the running gag, not a gag, but the running line was like, I will not lose one person from our group, not even one. But of course, they're going to lose a lot more than one. But then
everybody's dead. I bet you Ezekiel and Carol are the only ones going to be alive.
Oh, that would be sad.
And then maybe that female version of Daryl.
And maybe Jerry. You think Jerry's going to get it?
Yeah. No, maybe he protected the king. Is this Jerry's death scene?
Hmm?
Is this going to be Jerry's death scene the next episode where he's like, protected the king?
It's hard to tell because Jerry's a beloved character, I think. I don't know if they want to kill him right away. Daniel looks at Ezekiel in a kind of, I don't know, I don't like all this killing kind of look. And Ezekiel says, we or they, one or the other. It cannot be both, but he gets cut off by the guns. But so that was an interesting thing where Daniel didn't feel good about killing. Yeah. And I saw when I paused it and I was surprised. I paused it and I saw at least four or five people jump on the king. So I could just see in the next episode where they're going to have Ezekiel just like pushing all these dead bodies off of him. You know?
Or they turn into walkers. He has to fight them off.
right. You know, so it'll be interesting to see. And maybe Carol is somewhere off to the side and she can see it and take him out or something. And I hope.
Right. I just hope we get a clear version of what happens in the next episode. I want to see it all.
Like a replay.
Cause I was so surprised when it happened. I was like, what? I mean, it is too good to be true, to be honest. There had to be something dramatic that happened.
So next episode, more action.
We're giving what the people wanted.
Yeah. The war's lasting for at least four episodes.
That was like, if I could get surprised in this episode, I think it's a good episode. I got surprised three times. When Morales died by the hands of Daryl, when that kid died by the hands of Daryl, and when people got shot up in the field.
When Morales died, I literally laughed out loud. I was like, what? I was laughing. And mom's like, who is this guy? What the hell just happened? I had to explain to her, like, oh, it's a guy from the first episode and stuff. I mean, the first season. Like, okay.
I like how mom is this third guest on our show who's like the third reaction, the natural reaction.
Yeah, because I was just laughing. I was like, that was the funniest thing I ever saw. Because all the hype, right? Because there was so much hype, like Morales. Oh, let's find out.
It continued from the last episode. Yeah, right? Had a whole week to mull it over.
There was so much hype. The internet was going crazy over Morales, and then boom,
I know, just killed him.
And then boom, he's gone. And it's like, okay, that was that. a lot of people were like, oh, that was a waste to bring him on and then kill him off so quickly. He says, it was such an awesome character. They should have developed him and, you know, had him do something. No,
he was
no.
a terrible actor.
No, I don't
he was
want.
A terrible, terrible actor. If he was a better actor, maybe I'd feel a little worse, but I don't. I was like, finally, somebody put an end to him because that's all I was thinking about.
I
know it's bad, but that's exactly what I was feeling.
I mean, I was shocked at his death. Like, okay. But I wasn't kind of disappointed. I was like, okay, well, that had its purpose, I guess. It went where it went. And like I said earlier, I'm glad that they've put all the rumors and stuff to rest now, because now we know Morales is dead. Like in the same discussion thread that you'd read, you'd see half the people love this season and half the people hate it. There's no, it's interesting how people are so biased one way or the other. But I don't think it's horrible, and I don't think it's super amazing. I just think it's good for what it is. Like, the war is turning out well so far. It's turning out in our people's favor most of the time, right? Like, we're winning most of the battles. Mm-hmm. Things are going in our favor, which I like. Like, I didn't want it to be like, oh, they start fighting and then Negan surrounds them and imprisons them or something. So
right.
I like the way it's going. It's moving forward. We have some setbacks, but there are setbacks that I accept. It's like, okay, some people are going to die.
The challenges for this, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'd rather have setbacks than to have like a straight through the mission all the way. Cause at least, you know, oh, because they're having problems, you know, they're going to come out on top in the end. Cause there was some sacrifices to get there. That's why most of the plans didn't work, because they just kept going through it without any challenges. And it was too good to be true. For example, the Ezekiel and Carol's, there was the plan went smoothly to the T, where something had to go wrong.
Yeah. So I like that. I mean, we're going to have some setbacks in the fight. That's acceptable. As long as we're still moving forward and we're overall mm-hmm. winning, you know, overall yeah. we're on top. We still have to resolve the whole Negan Gabriel thing. Maybe we'll have a whole episode of Negan and Gabriel talking in the trailer. We'll see. That would be horrible, but
that'd be interesting.
I don't know, it doesn't sound like fun. So before we head off to our own direction and in this episode, I want to play a clip from The Talking Dead where Thomas Paine and Alana Masterson, who play Tara and Jesus on the show, are asked a question from Twitter, I guess. And they respond in a funny way. And it shows their interaction with each other is like the same as what was on the actual episode itself. So it's kind of funny. So I want to play it.
This is for Alana. This is from T Walking D World. Alana, will Tara ever be able to forgive Dwight for what he did to Denise?
I think that's something that may be explored throughout the season. I don't know personally how she's going to deal with it, but she has also been on the wrong side. She was with the governor when she entered.
True.
She has always forgiven people and given them sort of the benefit of the doubt with Eugene when he blew up the bus. So maybe she'll be able to see something in him.
But he wasn't aiming at her.
Oh, my God.
But he wasn't.
He killed the love of my life.
Yeah, but he wasn't trying to.
He did. He put a crossroad.
She's dead.
I love this show. Mistakes are
you're
made.
You're just capturing. You're just capturing a little bit of the on-screen turmoil between these two. This is from M. Brian.
Yeah, so that was funny. So Jesus is always the one to forgive and let bygones
Move
be bygones.
Things over. Yeah. Like, I mean, the chemistry is real. You know, at least you know they're not faking it. Well, thank you guys. I wasn't ready.
What?
Do it again. I wasn't ready to do it again. I'm like, the music came on, I'm like, panic.
You're not a professional, Jasmine. I'm disappointed.
I'm not getting paid, okay?
I'm disappointed. Not a true pro. Okay, let's try this again.
Well, we've come to the end of the show. Thank you all for listening to this episode. If you like what you hear, please tell your friends and everyone you know. We'd love to get new subscribers. You can send email feedback to talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com. And as always, this is Jasmine.
And I'm Michael.
Stay alive!
Mom and I went and saw Thor, Thor Ragnarok.
Oh, I want to see it. Mom thought it was hot.
Did she tell you anything?
No.
Yeah, they had the obligatory topless scene for the women.
Yes! Dad, come on! It's freaking Chris Hemsworth as Thor with short hair now. Like, this is his movie. Come on! He's so tall, dude. He's so... Because I saw him in person, hair flip. And he waved at me. Well, yeah. I mean, he waved in my general direction, but...
As a cloud of people.
I was like, ah! In my gelato uniform. I was like, oh my God! I don't think I saw Tom Hiddleston, though, which was sad. But I saw Jeff Goldblum. Mm-hmm. He's so cool.
Yeah, he was funny in that movie, too.
Yeah?
Yeah, cool. They made it a comedy, pretty much.
Well, because Deadpool sold so much money, and so did Guardians of the Galaxy, and they're both comedic.
Yeah,
so I think Marvel movies, so they're like riding that train.
They're making them comedic now, so I think that's the direction they're going. I don't know. It had dark moments, but it was like
comedy
throughout the whole thing. It was pretty funny.